Then verses 5 and 8, "And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow, and if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it's abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, every one that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among the people." Now, there's nothing new here, actually, about the peace offering. But there are one or two things that we probably should call your attention to that are emphasized here. A peace offering was to be made voluntarily. We already know that. And this did not relieve the offerer from following scrupulously the prescribed rules. You see, he done it voluntarily. I find today that there are those in Christian service that seem to think that they can take special liberty that no one else can take. I find today that there are Christians like that. I know a man called me up when I was pastor, and he said, "I want you to come out. I want to talk with you." Well, I said, "I'm very sorry. I have church visitors, and I really am strapped down with my part of the program." And he said, "I sent in $1,000 check to the church. I want to talk with you." Well, my friend, just because you did that doesn't give you any special privileges. A peace offering is to be made voluntarily, but you have to follow it. You're just like anyone else, like the poor fellow that brought a couple of pigeons. He must come to God always on God's terms. And any deviation from the prescribed order penalized the man as an example to the people. You see, it's a positive law, not a moral law. There was more danger of failure, you see, because of that. How many people today make a pledge to the church? And we have to say to people, "You really, if you're not able to do it, you don't have to go through with it." And they don't go through with it. And yet they would be able to. Why? Well, God says, if you're going to do anything for me, let's do the thing right. I had to go out to a television station and make a tape. They asked me to make a tape to be aired on NBC locally. And I went out. It was at night, but that's when they tape all the tape programs. The live programs are on in the daytime. And so they were taping a very popular program that a great many people have criticized, and probably rightly so. The thing, though, that impressed me was the dedication of the people that were putting it on. I went in and watched them. And I want to tell you, friends, I really stayed there. Somebody said, "Well, why in the world did you stay?" Well, I said, "You know, I've been among Christians so long that it did me good to get among people who are dedicated." Now, I understand why they're dedicated. They're dedicated to greed. They've been paid a handsome sum to do that show. And I tell you, they give it everything they've got. And how many people today in Christian work, they say, "Well, I volunteer, you know, I just do this." Well, a peace offering was a voluntary offering. God says, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it right if you come to me. And my friend today, don't volunteer to do God's work unless you're going to give it everything you've got. Because I'm of the opinion there are going to be a lot of Christians judged someday because of their laziness, because of the fact they did take a job. Somebody's going to say, "Well, I taught a Sunday school class. I guess he'll reward me." How many times were you late? How many times did you fail to prepare the lesson? That crowd out there that made an immoral program, I'll tell you this, friends, they knew their part. They knew their part, and I see Sunday school teachers come flipping through the quarterly trying to find something to say. God have mercy on us, and I think he's going to judge us on that someday. God says, "You don't come to me unless you come right." Oh, I love this. Now you notice man's relationship here to the poor. Verse 9, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and strange them, the Lord your God. You see, that's the way God took care of the poor in that day. We're going to have occasion to come back to this two or three times, and I'll go into detail then, but let me just say this. God never put anyone on charity. He never let anyone sit down and do nothing and receive a welfare check. You had to do something. They could go out and glean. God took care of them. But when that man went out in his field and harvested, and it was done by hand, whatever he didn't get the first time, he's to leave it in the field for the poor. And he's to glean the grapes. Now, I never knew you could leave grapes. I was holding a meeting up in Turlock, California, several years ago, and they found out I just love grapes. And one man told me, said, before you go back, he said, go out to my vineyard. They are picking them out there. You can just help yourself. And I went out. I wasn't able to go that day or the next day. In fact, the last day I was up there. And they had already picked them. The pickers were gone. So I gleaned. I thought, well, if they've left any, I'll get them. Did you know, friends, if I'd had a truck, I could have filled it up. So that night I told the people that I'd been gleaning like the poor people did. And I happened to be among the poor people. My, how I enjoyed that. And that's the way God took care of his people. Marvelous arrangement.